Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, for the first time ever, we check our work. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I'm joined, as I'm always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to be reviewing our scientific hypotheses from last year, and then on Thursday, we're going to be predicting this year. But Mark, in the meantime, how's it going?
It's going great. Look, we are recording this.
We're recording this.
In 2023.
Yes.
And the mind reels at what 2024 is going to look like, right? We're close.
Flying cars.
And yeah, right. Uh-huh. Our
robot maids.
Our ape overlords herding us into little rudimentary cages?
Yeah.
Is that what happens in that
Why
movie?
Why are the cages rudimentary?
I don't know. They must have lost a lot of, like, some knowledge.
They
a lot of
have,
knowledge.
Yeah.
Or maybe they didn't lose the knowledge. Maybe just the resources stopped existing on the planet of the
apes. That could be.
When, after the nuclear holocaust.
But then there's, like, a nuclear holocaust to come, because there's that unexploded nuclear weapon, like, that
right,
the humans are worshipping.
Beneath
yeah.
the planet of the
That's
apes.
Right. That's right.
Hey, this is kind of topical for 2024, because there's that new Planet of the Apes movie
There is a
out.
New Planet
That's
of the
That's directed
movie.
By the guy who's doing the Zelda movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Not anything that we had predicted when reviewing the data going into this year.
No, but I think that's probably the one thing we got wrong.
I think that's the only one. Oh, okay. We are going to be... Look, this is not a news episode, but we are going to be looking back at the episode we recorded at the beginning of the year, where we looked at all the data. Nintendo had provided us with a lot of data and a lot of history, and we extrapolated out what we thought Nintendo's 2023 was going to look like. Those were not predictions.
No.
Those were scientific hypotheses, and this episode, we are testing all of
that's
those.
That's right. We are closing the loop. We
yes.
are true men of science,
mm-hmm.
and as our dedication to that means that even though it might be a little bit embarrassing for us that we didn't predict a Zelda movie, by not predict, hypothesize about
that's
a Zelda,
right.
about a Zelda movie that's directed by the director of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
And the Maze Runner. And the canceled Mouse Guard movie.
Despite all of that,
mm-hmm.
we're still going to, on the record, review it. Because that's how much we think science is important.
That's right. And then on Thursday, we are trusting the science again and maybe actually making some predictions about 2024. Right?
That's right.
If you would like to support us in this endeavor, you can go to patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society and check out the once a month episodes of miniseries that we are putting out there. We just put out, I guess it's a little while ago now, the holiday episode of NCS Detective Club. And starting this month, we are doing NCS Arcade.
Yeah, where we are going to be playing games that are available on Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack that Patrick and I have never beaten before.
Yes.
And we're starting with The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, and I am really excited for this conversation.
Yeah, so play along with us if you can and listen to those episodes. You should also be in our Discord if you're not yet. Yeah, email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. And we will send you an invitation so you can have conversations about what we hypothesize and how correct it is, and whether or not we are fair when judging our own hypotheses, and also just Nintendo stuff all the time. People will be talking about all of that forever. All right, Mark, let's get into it. Let's review our predictions. They're not predictions. Let's review our scientific hypotheses. Why is that so hard? Why?
I think it's because we're not wearing our lab coats. Yet.
Okay,
so let's go ahead and put them on.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. And I, of course, have these, like, goggles.
Uh-huh.
So I can stare right into the nuclear blast.
I'm wearing lead gloves, and mm-hmm. I'm using them to very sloppily turn on my Bunsen burner here.
Right, yeah.
So that way we can get these beakers going.
That's good. One thing I know about science is you got to get those beakers going early.
Yeah, if they're not boiling by the time... I mean, we're going to turn the heat down low, so that way it takes a long time for them to boil, because we don't want all of the... stuff in them to evaporate.
Right. And mostly what I'm concerned is that we've got all like the beakers and other glassware set up on the opposite side of a camera so you and I can like walk behind them and that like warps the shape of our bodies.
Right. As we walk through them. I mean, true science things.
Yeah, that's right. And then we put like a Frankenstein on a slab and then raise him up to get struck by lightning.
Yep.
This is what we know about science.
But now that we've reviewed all of that, I think we are actually ready because we know that they're hypotheses, not predictions. And we know that we're ready to draw conclusions about how accurate those hypotheses were.
Right. And sometimes these hypotheses were about our relationships to these products and services and whatever as they came out. You can check out the episode. It is still in the feed where we made all these hypotheses. But so kind of the first like big thing that came up was Fire Emblem Engage, which at that point was only going to be released a couple like weeks later.
Yeah, right? And there was still so much that we didn't know or understand about the game at this point.
Right. Mark, you would ask me if people were excited about the game, if there was like buzz within the Fire Emblem community. And I said that it seems like a game that only the Fire Emblem freaks, FEFs, were excited about. And I would say that that largely panned out to be true.
Yeah, I think so too. From what we can tell about the sales of Fire Emblem Engage, sold over 1 million units, but I don't think we've had an update since then.
Right.
And even I just feel like the conversation around it, for the people that did dive into it, those Fire Emblem freaks, they enjoyed it, but there was a lot of, you know, like the story was kind of like, I started it.
Right.
Right. And I, as someone who the only other Fire Emblem game I've ever beaten was Fire Emblem Three Houses, this was really different from Three Houses, and it didn't connect with me.
Right. I mean, and this is we talked about this in the first episode that that there was not going to be much in the way of the like social aspect or romance, and that was absolutely true. Right. It was unclear to us at the time whether that was the case or not. But yeah, there wasn't any of that really.
So, but you finished Fire Emblem Engage, right?
You bet, yeah.
And overall, you did enjoy the game.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was great. It was super fun. The worst parts of it and the worst characters are in the beginning. But yeah, no, the game was genuinely great and like had some very fun battles in it. As far as like the battle mechanics go, I much preferred it to Three Houses.
So how would we... It feels like we were fairly accurate.
I think we nailed
on
it.
On this one.
It, not that hard to look into the future like 2 weeks, but we did it. The next game that we talked about was Blanc. And I got to say, until I listened back to this episode, I forgot that this game even existed.
Which is so funny. It must have been coming out like fairly soon at that point. Because there was a reason why it was on our mind.
I think it was in like a Nintendo Direct, maybe even an Indie World Showcase.
I feel like
too.
We saw a lot of Blanc.
Yeah, me too.
And what we talked about in the episode was, in fact, we made a pact.
Yeah,
that you and I would play this game together.
We said we were going to play it together, and we didn't play it apart or together. So, I don't know. For as successful as we were on Fire Emblem Engage, we did not do anything to predict Blanc accurately.
Also a real mixed bag with Super Nintendo World.
Yes. So the next thing we talked about was Super Nintendo World opening at Universal Studios Hollywood. And I said, I think we are going to go, quote, too many times. We went once.
And I haven't had that much of a desire to go back.
Yeah, me neither. Like every now and then I have a little bit of like a, oh, it would be fun. But I don't, the inconveniences of going to Super Nintendo World and going to Universal just in general is so great that like I didn't want to like put up with that to go to the Nintendo part again.
Yeah. I mean, I was really excited about Toad Cafe.
You were very excited about Toad Cafe.
Which we didn't have a very good experience at Toad Cafe as far as like the food or the operations or anything like that. But
right.
I will say that Toad Cafe is very cute.
It is very cute, which is I had asked you at the time, is there anything on the menu that you're excited to eat? And you were like, not really. I just kind of want to hang out there and soak up the vibes. And we did do that. We waited like 45 minutes for forks and gave us plenty of time to observe the ambiance on repeat.
I do sometimes think about, like, you know, when I see things, people posting pictures of them going to Super Nintendo World and all that kind of stuff. I sometimes think we were sat right next to one of the like windows into the kitchen,
yes,
where there's little animations of the Toad chefs,
yeah,
making food. And sometimes I think about those and they make me smile.
Yeah.
I like those little animations. The one piece of merchandise that I picked up from Super Nintendo World was, mm-hmm, a Toad chef, or Chef Toad.
Yeah, I think Chef Toad.
plush.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so when you're in Toad Cafe, every once in a while, like, Bowser airships attack, and all the Toads scatter, including the Chef Toad.
Yeah.
It's just all, that part of it is all really delightful. And I think if we went during a better, like, operational time, it would have been a more positive experience.
I would also say that if we didn't feel like the impulse to get meals, because we bought basically everything that was on that menu, and like, you know, I don't think we needed to get the spaghetti or the chicken sandwich, you know, like if we just got like a dessert and like the soup, like that, because the soup was good.
Yeah. Well, one thing that changed from when you and I were there at the beginning, just like a couple of weeks after it opened versus now, is they had too many people stealing the little mushroom bowls.
Oh, that's funny.
And so now they just come with it. Like it just costs more and you just get the bowls.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I wish we would have done that.
I know. Me too.
Why didn't we steal the mushroom bowls?
I guess we have to go
back
because Toad is there now. You can meet Toad.
Right.
And we didn't meet Mario or Luigi.
We did meet Princess, though.
We did meet the Princess. So, I feel like they're...
Peach, she has a name. Why am I doing that?
How do we rate ourselves on this one? Super Nintendo World.
Like a C, right?
Yes. Yeah, a scientific... C for science.
C for science. I did ask at the time whether there was booze at a Toad Cafe, and there isn't, right?
Right.
But we were basically split on whether there would or not be booze there. And then we both mentioned that we wanted merch. We were like, there's something I want to buy here. And I know you really struggled with that, ended up buying the Chef Toad. I didn't buy, well, I guess I got that Mario like drawstring backpack. But I got it ahead of time and wore it to the park. So I don't know. I kind of feel like we were both let down by the merch.
Yeah,
there.
We also got power-up bands. But,
yes.
But yeah, no, I agree. It was pretty generic, just Mario stuff. There was nothing that... I was ready to spend money.
Yeah.
And that didn't end up being the case.
I mean, we did, to be fair, like, the tickets, the early entry, and the power-up bands, like, it was... We did spend
money. Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. We spent too much money.
Yeah.
But I was ready to... I was prepared
I was
to spend
ready
more.
To spend more. Did not allow us. Next up was Kirby's Return to Dreamland. Deluxe.
Yeah, this is. I feel like this falls in the Blanc category for me, where I bought this game, I used a voucher on it, and I turned it on, and I played it for about 10 minutes, and never had any desire to go back.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of had, like, I pitched you a concept month on mic at the time of doing a co-op month where we play Blanc. This Kirby game, It Takes Two and Portal 2, and just do four episodes based on that. We didn't do any of that. So, I mean, this may be like a solid F for us. We knew this game was coming out, but we had no concept of how you or I would respond to it or to other games that are multiplayer like it.
I still think that's a good idea for a themed month.
Me too.
But yeah, I agree with you. This was a hypothesis that turned out to be completely false.
Speaking of, the next thing on our list here is the Super Mario Brothers movie, which we clocked as coming out in April. And we had a good conversation about the fact that we were no longer dreading it, dreading the experience of going to see the movie.
Yep.
We obviously
that
didn't.
That sure was how we felt in January.
Sure how we felt about it in January. Had we seen like the, we must have seen like that the trailer at that point.
Yeah, we must have.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it was we had seen the first trailer, the one that, you know, there was no needle drops. There was that opportunity
right.
for them to undercut Bowser with a joke, and they
right.
didn't in the trailer.
Right, and in that same scene in the movie, there is a needle drop.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
Like, it's where they use the Kill Bill music that they hadn't used in the trailer. So, yeah, I feel like, I don't feel like we were so much wrong as we were lied to. Does that feel right?
Yeah, that does feel right.
But I would say that I don't know. We didn't really make any predictions about.
I'm sorry. I took my lab coat off for a moment.
Please do not.
Yeah, I'm putting it back on. I don't think we failed our hypothesis because we didn't really make any predictions about any hypotheses.
I think it's just going to happen. You have to accept it. We can't stop every time.
About what the movie would necessarily be. But yeah, not my favorite Nintendo release of 2023.
No, but possibly your favorite Nintendo release of 2023. We did talk about Zelda Tears of the Kingdom that was coming out on May 12th. I said this is probably an even bigger deal than the Super Mario Brothers movie. Do you think it was?
No, I actually think probably in the grand scheme of the history of Nintendo that the Super Mario Brothers movie is like a much bigger deal.
Yeah, I think that's going to the success of the Super Mario Brothers movie is going to do more to change the face of Nintendo over the next decade than Tears of the Kingdom did, right? Or will.
But at the point in 2023 that we are making these hypotheses, we knew nothing about Tears of the Kingdom.
Right. It was weird transporting myself back to that time before we had seen the sort of breakdown where we got to see all of the individual abilities in motion in the game. We were really waiting on a full blowout of the game.
And there was also at that point there had been a marketing leak or something like that that included the Nintendo Switch Online logo.
Yes.
As part of that, as on the box art or something like that, as part of the marketing materials that we hadn't seen before.
But we were pretty wary of that meaning anything, right? I think that was almost more something that we'd like to play with, the idea of but what if?
Yeah.
And at the time, this was me speculating. We don't know how linear the game is. We don't know if we can run around Hyrule together, or maybe it's a Hyrule Battle Royale. Obviously not something I genuinely believed, but we have to take that into consideration when evaluating how well we hypothesized here.
Yeah, I would still say that we pretty much... this was a valid hypothesis.
I agree. And also, we talked about, is it going to hit May 12th? It did. Mark, you had a really good observation there that 2023 felt like the year that all of the COVID delayed stuff was going to hit, all of the everything that had slowed down was going to finally be paying off this year. And this year was a huge year for big games, right? So I think that more than anything else in our little Tears of the Kingdom discussion ended up being true, right?
Yeah, I do think that was true, and not just for Nintendo, but kind of across, you're saying,
absolutely,
the industry.
We also discussed the Switch OLED special edition for Tears of the Kingdom, which had leaked at that point. We both believed it, and it was real. So I say we did pretty good on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One for the Blanc and Kirby's Return to Dreamland category, I think.
Yeah.
Is Disney Illusion Island. We were both really excited about this one.
We kind of remained excited about it through the course of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
Right up until it came out. And then we were like, meh. Right? I mean, happened?
No, it's true. It's 100% true. I think this would be another good one for this co-op month.
Co-op month? Uh-huh. This co-op month that's never going to happen. We should do it. I said I was excited about it. I was, but we didn't play it. Next up is Sea of Stars, that we knew was coming out in the summer of 2023. I was very high on it, really leaning into that it was developed by the team behind The Messenger. And it turns out Mark was the one who got really into Sea of Stars.
Yeah, I played it. I finished it. I enjoyed it. I think it was a solid triple. A lot to like about the game.
Yeah, all right. Next, and this was sort of obligatory at the time, I brought up Hollow Knight Silksong, which was supposedly, according to Nintendo's website, coming out in 2023.
And look, egg on my face, because, I believed them.
Yeah, you believed them.
I had no reason to think that they were lying.
I suppose it is still possible, because we're recording this at the beginning of December, that it could drop between now and the end of the year.
Sure. On the Game Awards,
Game
maybe.
Awards, definitely.
They reveal it or something like that.
Possibility.
It is possible, but I feel like it's unlikely.
Why? Do you have any kind of, at this point, like any sort of feeling about Silksong and when it comes out, if it comes out?
Doesn't it feel like the, and maybe I can only think of one other example, but it feels like with indie games, there is a lot of times where like DLC is announced and then the scope kind of explodes.
Yes.
And we don't hear about it for a long time. I guess the example that I'm thinking of was Sports Story.
Sure.
Right? Like,
did we ever get that Katana Zero DLC?
No, we still haven't gotten the Katana Zero DLC. But like, Sports Story, I really liked Golf Story. It was a small game, you know, but like funny, intriguing. The golf mechanics were fun, all that kind of stuff. And then I think feeling the pressure of trying to blow that out, Sports Story came out, wasn't that well received, was kind of buggy, like all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that the Silksong developers are trying to avoid all of that, but it definitely feels like they are victims of like feature creep.
I think that is probably the case. So I don't know, maybe we're done making hypotheses about Silksong like forever.
Yep.
Next up, Pikmin 4.
Another game that we knew was coming,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. That's all we knew.
Right. We did point out at the time that it wasn't even on Nintendo's website yet, which is pretty strange. We were not convinced that it was going to come out in 2023. And again, partially because we'd only seen a logo and Miyamoto talking about it, but mostly talking about his Pikmin Bloom.
Right. So a lot of our hypotheses for Pikmin 4 were around, well, what is going to make Pikmin 4 unique? Right? Like, will it take advantage of something that only the Switch can do? And none of that really panned out. They did make changes for Pikmin 4. You know, the camera is closer
mm-hmm.
in all the Pikmin, but and there's a new Pikmin. You can go into caves and like underground and all this stuff. But in a lot of ways, it feels like the Pikmin 3 Deluxe was an experiment in co-op and all of these things that didn't, you know, and then Pikmin 4 was kind of more of just a reversion back to the mean.
I mean, kind of, but Pikmin 4, I think, sort of ends up taking what's strong about all the rest of the Pikmin games and, like, presenting it, that, like, you have the sort of, like, time crunch, you know, open area feel, but then you also have the, you know, more, like, lackadaisical explore cave kind of areas. And you know, we hadn't met Ochi at this point. We did not know about the two-legged dog with no nose.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Every time you say Ochi, I'm like, ah, yes, Ochi of Bestoon.
Not Ochi of Bestoon. They're spelled differently. Ochi of Bestoon, of course, a side character who doesn't actually appear in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, we see him in the flashback.
He's alluded to, yeah.
We see him in the flashback where...
Oh, he's like
raising
Ray's
parents.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did he kill Ray's parents?
Yeah. With that dagger, right?
I don't know. Mark, I gotta say, we didn't mess around with Pikmin 4 that much during the year, but or at the time it came out. I have been playing it the last couple weeks, and I think it's just great. And I'm can continue to love it, and I don't know, it feels like a new discovery for me, and I wish I would have been more plugged into and excited about this game as it was coming out. This is also before we were into Pikmin Bloom. So, like, the concept of Pikmin to us was still, like, I don't know. Weird little plant guys? I don't care.
Yeah. And Pikmin 4 has, like, Nintendo has spent a lot of time touting its success. It's the fastest selling, maybe best selling, already of a Pikmin title ever. Plus, you know, they, in a financial release, they were talking about the like merchandising that they've done with Pikmin and all that kind of stuff to make the Pikmin franchise more, what is the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, like one of the premier titles, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I don't know if they have not achieved that, but like it is interesting to see them sort of like positioning it as something a little bit more mainstream and prestige. Next up, we started to dig into the first-party DLC that we knew was coming.
And the first of that was the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Booster Course Pass Waves 4 through 6.
And most of our conversation was like, yeah, we expect these things to come out basically quarterly on more or less the same schedule that they did last year. That was all true. That was all accurate. But then Mark put forward the following theory. Is it possible that they pull a Smash Brothers DLC and like now here's even more?
Right, because you had the wait, like, what do they call it? The Fighter Pass,
yeah.
One, and then later they revealed that a whole another Fighter Pass existed. But this is a failed hypothesis.
Yep.
Not the case.
No, but good to put out a hypothesis to test it, and then realize that it was not the case. We at the time did not even enter our minds that there would be anything beyond new tracks. Like, we did not mention new characters or any new features, and we got both throughout the course of the year.
It's also crazy to me that at the time that we were recording our hypotheses last year, we didn't know anything about Splatoon 3's large-scale DLC.
Yeah, yes. We just knew that it was planned, right? Like, that was really it. Although, so Splatoon's large-scale DLC, I was sort of speculating that it was going to come out over the summer. It still hasn't come out, right? Or I guess, like, part of it did.
But, like, Side Order didn't. Like, side the large-scale yeah. part of it didn't. Yeah.
Right. We had a conversation about whether it was going to be part of the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack. Mark, you mentioned that you would like that a lot, and you thought the odds were pretty good.
Yeah, why would I think that? Why would I think that they would put it on Nintendo Switch Online, you know, like, immediately?
Well, because both the Booster Course Pass and Animal Crossing Happy Home Paradise both did.
Hmm, interesting.
But yeah, I guess they're just like, no, that's the value we've provided for you. Next up was Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I thought that the last wave was going to be the big one. I think that's sort of true. Again, you and I aren't plugged in enough to Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Yeah,
to really...
for me, I feel like the part where we failed was that we talked about Torna, the Golden Country, which was the final DLC for Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but was so large and was its own kind of like standalone experience that Nintendo ended up releasing it as a standalone release.
Right. And we wondered, would this be the same for the Xenoblade Chronicles 3 DLC? And it wasn't. So you still had to buy the base game in order to play it.
But from our lowest lows to our highest highs.
Highest highs.
I think we knocked it out of the park when it came to the Fire Emblem Engage DLC.
Yeah, I wrote down a quote from me here because I thought it was funny. That the DLC includes Claude, Edelgard, and Dimitri, my best boys and girl. I think I'm doomed to buy the expansion pass on this one. And I did! and then we read that quote, other waves to be delivered by the end of the year, which was in their marketing material for the DLC. I interpreted that at the time as being, quote, robust support throughout the year. But all of the DLC came out within a month of the game's release.
Yeah, and that was just kind of it felt like the standard for DLC now is they're just hustling it out the door.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Finally, we had Pokemon Scarlet and Violet when talking about DLC. And again, another one that seems crazy that it had not been announced yet. Just because I feel like we've known about it and been talking about it forever.
Right.
But at the time, there was no DLC content announced. But we took cues from Sword and Shield and said maybe around June and October for these release dates. And that turned out to not be true. They're coming a little bit later. Like, the first one was released around the October timeframe, I want to say.
Yeah, and then the second one is, at this point, will be in the past.
Yeah.
Came out in December. But yeah, interesting that we figured that there were going to be two sets of them. But we just sort of had the dates wrong. Next up, we moved on to the Nintendo Switch Online and started by talking about the Nintendo 64 release cadence. Man, I feel like this is one where we crashed and burned.
We did, but I feel like we made pretty good guesses based on the information that we had. That's why we're going through this exercise.
That's
is
right.
To blame other people for the mistakes
that's
that we
right,
made.
That's right. Right,
and I feel lied to by Nintendo.
I do kind of feel lied to by Nintendo. So we were saying that we had six more Nintendo 64 games that we had been told were going to be coming out, and we had been on a one game a month sort of release schedule, with the exception of the two Mario Party games that came out together in November of 2022. So we were like, maybe that's how it'll go throughout the rest of the year. One game a month, at least for the first 6 months. And
we know what games those are going to be, because they have shown us games that are coming to Nintendo 64.
Right. Here we are at the end of the year. Not all of these games have come out. I guess the only one that hasn't is 1080 Snowboarding, but they have not been released on a monthly schedule. And also we just got Jet Force Gemini as well.
Yeah, surprise releases. Like, we didn't know GoldenEye was coming at this point.
No, we did know GoldenEye was coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had it on the, because it was, we talked about it would have to be released the same day as the Xbox version.
Oh, got it.
Which I think was true, but it's still very strange that, like, we seem to have a grasp of what we thought was going to happen, and it didn't.
Well, we also felt pretty strongly that Donkey Kong 64 and Diddy Kong Racing needed to come to Nintendo Switch Online, and I suppose that is still true.
Oh, it is definitely still true that is what we want. And there's a bunch of, now with Jet Force Gemini, there are three Rare developed Nintendo 64 games on that service. So, like, why not these other two?
Yeah.
Especially as they star Nintendo characters. Like, yep. What's the holdup? We also talked a little bit about the, at that point, incoming closure of the 3DS and Wii U eShops. And it sort of made us, like, spiral into, like, how is Nintendo going to, you know, act as good stewards for their classic console libraries going forward once these shops are closed? The only real, like, speculation that we made was, like, if we find out anything, we won't find out about it until the eShops are closed.
Yeah, this is one that I think just requires more scrutiny, because we don't have enough information to know what exactly the outcome of this is going to be.
Right. In the long term. Although, we did end up getting the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance libraries announced in February, right? So that was getting more information about a classic libraries before the eShops shut down.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, that's that we were a little bit off on that. But I mean, Mark, your hypothesis at the time was, I think this is it. When these eShops go, that there's not gonna be a new virtual console.
And I still think that's true.
I think that's probably right. I said, or I guess I hypothesized, that Nintendo was, quote, working towards a unified platform for access to these games, whether through Switch or through just the Switch or through future hardware of some kind. And I guess we don't, like you were saying, we're not on a long enough timeline now to tell whether or not that will end up being true.
Right. We then spent a little bit of time talking about events that we knew were coming in 2023, and we were so confident about E3. It just had to have happened. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah, we thought E3 was coming back, although kind of everyone did, right?
Right.
Like, the ESA and Reed Pop had, like, made a big deal of, like, oh yeah, E3's back. We're at the LA Convention Center. Like, all of it is like locked and ready to go. So, you know, you and I talked a fair amount. We also, you know, very easily and accurately predicted there would be a February and September directs. But let's just talk about the June one, because we were talking about, like, what would the booth be at E3? And of course, there was no E3.
Right. Yeah. If I had, let's pretend that there was. It would have been Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which we had no idea about at this point.
Yes, yeah,
because we were talking, I think, in this section, like, what is Nintendo's holiday game going to be? And the idea of a new 2D Mario game, I didn't even come up.
No, it was so far outside what we were expecting. What a fun little surprise Super Mario Brothers Wonder ended up being this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we thought maybe it would be Pikmin. Of course it wasn't going to be Pikmin. And then there was no booth, and there was just a direct in June. I do like that, absent an E3 presentation, that Nintendo still had, like, a nice big chunky direct that was, like, full of stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we moved into a section that I had titled, I don't know if you call this speculation or what. I mentioned there would be a Pokemon game of some kind.
Which there was. Detective Pikachu Returns. Right.
Although a pretty light year for Pokemon, all things considered. That like in the past, and I don't know if it's just because like they've hit a bunch of like remasters and, you know, like the Mystery Dungeon games, new Pokemon Snap, that like, you know, they're just like running out of like the cycle of like repurposing old stuff. But yeah, it felt like a light Pokemon year.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like they're recharging.
Yeah, I would hope so. Then, Mark, we brought it up. Metroid Prime 4.
Man. I think I said that it seemed too soon for us to get Metroid Prime 4 information.
Yes. Yes, you said it has been a long time since it was rebooted, but it still seems too soon to me.
I also said that, I mean, we mentioned the possibility of Prime Remake.
Yeah, we sure did.
And I said that I'd buy Metroid Prime something.
Yes.
I would buy it. And that turned out to be true.
That turned out to be true. The Metroid Prime Remastered. Came out in February as part of that like February Direct. And we both bought it and loved it and played it. And yeah, but, you know, we also teased out like Prime Trilogy, but it was really just the Prime Remake that we were sort of right about. Next into the what's not here, what's missing from the information we had about the rest of the year. And we started with Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. And we were both very much like, I could see this never coming out. And it ended up coming out pretty early in the year, right?
Yeah, it came out pretty early, and it came out, like, I also felt like if it does come out, they're not really going to market it, they're just going to quietly release it, but it made an appearance in Nintendo Direct, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't
bury it. Yeah, but
that
was sort of it. Yeah. But they kind of did bury it. You didn't really see new marketing for it, it was just in the Nintendo Direct.
But I wonder, I have no way to prove this one way or the other, but I wonder if that was always what Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp's marketing was going to look like. Because it's definitely a smaller title, not one that they're going to put a real heavyweight campaign behind.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's the exact same campaign we're going to see for Mario versus Donkey Kong this year, right? That, like, it is another probably February release that is a remake of a Game Boy Advance game, right? So, like, and it looks all shiny and new, but, like, how much do you really expect that to move?
Right. I think the Reboot Camp came out in April, I want to say.
Oh, was it really that late?
I think so, but I can't remember.
That is my Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe, and that is a game that I bought. I don't think I've turned it on.
I also felt pretty strongly that we are going to get a new version of the Switch, because we were 2 years out from the OLED being released, and it seemed in 2021. And so it seemed like if Nintendo was following their other hardware upgrade cycles, that we would get some new form factor, but that turned out to not be the case. We did get bundles and some new like special
really
editions,
count,
but just otherwise, Switch just keeps on trucking.
Here's the thing. This was the year, as far as I'm concerned, of the Nintendo Switch OLED. This is where like everyone was like, all right, I'll get the OLED. You had gotten one at the time that we recorded our predictions episode. I was jealous. I felt left behind. And then like a week later, I bought one. Mark, at this point in the conversation, you said, I've made a decision that whatever the next revision is, I'm just going to get it at launch.
And it's true. It's still true.
Remains true.
Yeah.
But I like that we have both gotten at least a year's worth of use out of our OLEDs. Obviously, we're going to be talking more in Thursday's episode about what we expect in terms of new hardware. But actually, that's a good question, is that like if they put out a revision early in 2024, but we still expect like a new, like a Switch 2 later in the year, are you still going to buy the revision day one?
So I, going from the original Switch to the OLED, the changes are minor, and yet it all adds up to be like a much better experience.
Absolutely.
If I feel like what we are maybe more likely to see in 2024 would be one of the like redesigns that make the Switch cheaper. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They've done this, or over the course of Nintendo's history, we have occasionally seen this, where late in life, there was a Nintendo Entertainment System redesign that made it a top loader and like that sort of thing. There
dog
was,
bone controllers.
There was, for the Nintendo Wii, they had a late-in-life redesign as well, you know, that changed the form factor and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so I feel like that's what's more likely to show up in 2024 if new hardware is looming. And
yeah,
I don't know if that's really the attractive upgrade that I'm looking for.
Yeah. I totally agree that, like, if there's just something that, like, changes the way it... The thing that's so weird about that is that, like, the form factor of the Switch basically has to be the same, right? Because it has to play nice with docks,
right,
and with Joy-Con,
or go the light route, which
right,
you know,
already exists,
right? Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it's hard for me to imagine what more they could do to like budgetize it.
My brother-in-law was texting last night to be like, "Hey, we're thinking about buying Switches for the girls for Christmas. Should we just get two Switch Lights? They don't have any video games currently." And was asking my advice, and I had a really hard time. Like, I was like, "Well, what kinds of games are they interested in playing? Because that would actually, do they want to play games together on a TV? Then in that case, like, you need at least one Switch heavy. But like, are they just gonna be playing Minecraft? And like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I laid it all out for him. It was like, here's the various functionalities of what you would have to do. Also, there's, you know, the issue of like ownership of games. If they both have Switch Lights and you get one copy of Mario Kart, they're not going to be able to play it together. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, there was just a lot of like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's actually a really, do you know what they ended up doing?
No, I don't. I mean, this was last night that I was.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
December 1st, I was having this conversation. We're recording December 2nd.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's so interesting because you're right. Like, let's say they want to play something like 1-2 Switch.
Right.
You can't do that with Lite.
Right. Exactly.
But it feels, and like, kind of the ideal scenario would be one base model Switch.
Right.
And one Lite. But that's also really weird.
That's
to
weird.
Do to your children.
Right, because then it's like, which one of you gets the Switch heavy, which one of you gets the Switch light? Or do they somehow conceptualize it where it's like, these are both of yours.
Right.
And like, you know, the idea is when you are playing a game by yourself in your room, you're playing on the light. And if you're playing on the TV, you're playing on the Switch heavy. Maybe the real move is like, Ben gets his own, Dad gets his own Switch, and then the girls get Switch lights.
Yeah, because, or you just get
suggesting a $700 solution.
Well, see, that's the thing, because you're like, oh yeah, or you just get, like, two regular Switches.
Sure.
But that doesn't really make sense either. Like, you would hope that they had two different bundles, because although I guess if you're getting two separate Switches, you do want two copies of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Really, I think the move is just getting one Switch and playing it on the TV.
Yeah.
Them playing it together, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then like, and Ben was like, "Will they fight over it?" And I was like, "Yeah, probably." They fight over everything, right?
But yeah, that is an interesting conundrum.
But I did. I was like, you know, after walls of text messages to him, was like, complications aside, it's a great platform, and you'll have a lot to play with them. They'll have a lot to play together and by themselves. So like, I think it's worth muscling through the inconveniences here.
We totally nailed our hypotheses about Game & Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Game & Watch, like, collector's edition, anniversary editions program dead?
We said yes.
Yep. Nintendo likes to do things in twos.
Yep. The rule of comedy is a rule of threes, but Nintendo does twos.
And that turned out to be the case with the Zelda and Mario Kirby. Wanted a Kirby.
We wanted a Kirby one. It did not happen.
Yeah.
Should have done it. Could have been pink. It would have been great.
Here's one that I totally whiffed. Talking about Amiibo.
Yes.
Were we going to get a Sora Amiibo? And I said, no way. That time has passed. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
And it turns out it was not too late. And it was going to happen. It hasn't come out yet, right?
It has not come out yet. Okay. In fact, I don't think we know when it's coming out. It has just been announced.
Which is pretty crazy. Although we also did kind of like discuss the future of Amiibo, because it seemed like it had been sort of petering off. I would say that we've not really gotten definitive answers either way. I did at the time say the real test is going to be if we get Tears of the Kingdom amiibo or not. On release, there was just the Link Tears of the Kingdom amiibo, but just recently they released the other two, the Ganondorf and Zelda. So it seems like the amiibo program is still sort of limping along. It's not gotten more robust. It's not gotten less over the course of 2023. So I would say that we are still like, I think we are mostly right on that part of it.
We also talked a little bit about how in the early days of the Switch, Nintendo made a lot of statements about wanting to find new ways for people to play with the Switch. And Labo was an example of that to extend the life of the platform. And it kind of turned out to be not necessary. Like, just as a game machine, it has done well. Labo, the first packs sold pretty well, but, you know, after a little while, it didn't, Labo never really caught on. A super interesting experiment, but, you know, never really caught on as a long-term thing. We had Ring Fit Adventure, but otherwise,
I would say Ring Fit is like the big success from that, right? Like,
totally.
That has sold, it's like 8 million copies.
Yeah,
like
maybe
that, right?
10 something.
It's a lot. But yeah, the rest of them, like the Mario Kart Tour, Home Mario Kart. What's the name of that?
Right.
Mario Kart Home Circuit.
Maybe that's it.
Live Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. Is that it?
It could be.
But yeah, well, you know, so we're kind of like, we hadn't seen anything really in 2022 to, you suggest that they were working on more stuff like that, except maybe Nintendo Switch Sports. So yeah, I think we were kind of like, this era of Nintendo is basically over.
Yes. And nothing in 2023 showed that to be untrue.
Well, is that true though? Because both, Everybody Want to Switch and WarioWare Move It came out, and they're both very like, they're normal games kind of, but they're both very Joy-Con focused.
Well, I would say that, I mean, they are Joy-Con focused, but I wouldn't call that a new way to play. I maybe Everybody Want to Switch, you could make that argument because it introduced this idea of like being able to play with up to 100 other people with the mobile phone.
Right.
And if that game hadn't had such a cursed leak and then reveal and then rollout, I wonder how it would have hit differently. Like, genuinely, I was talking about a month ago when I was visiting family for Thanksgiving. I had some nieces and nephews who really, really enjoy 1-2 Switch. And I genuinely was like, should I give them Everybody 1-2 Switch? I think they would really like it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Do they have phones?
Some of them do have phones.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So they would be able to play that way as well. Not too late. I could still do this. Everybody 1-2 Switch still exists.
Maybe that's the actual advice, is that instead of buying everyone Switches, you need to just get Everybody 1-2 Switch. But yeah, I mean, I think we're mostly right to say that the bigger swings were over as far as different ways to interact with the Switch. Did you look up the Mario Kart thing?
I did, and you nailed it. It is Mario Kart Live Home Circuit.
Yes, I got there eventually. Just had to say enough like words that my brain associates with Mario Kart until I get it right.
There were also two Nintendo subsidiaries, new like Nintendo businesses, that we knew about, but we didn't have too much of an idea of what they were going to be doing. That's Nintendo Pictures Co. Limited and Nintendo Systems Co. Limited.
And Nintendo Pictures Co. Limited, we talked about how they would likely be working on the visual content within games and not like developing stuff for, you know, Netflix or whatever. And Nintendo Pictures Co. Appears in the credits for Super Mario RPG, the remake that came out last month. So, or at this point, 2 months ago. So yeah, it seems like that's the kind of stuff they've been working on.
Mm-hmm. And then with Nintendo Systems, this is their new company that they're doing in collaboration with DNA.
Yes.
Which they had also collaborated with for mobile games. But this one, they've been very upfront that it is, at the time, they hadn't talked a lot about it, but in more recent discussions, they've been very upfront about the importance of Nintendo accounts.
Yes.
And using Nintendo accounts to stay connected with fans and possibly, you know, moving from one console to another, that Nintendo accounts will play a big role in smoothing out that transition instead of everybody having to, like, start fresh every time, which is a big hurdle with console generations, right? Mm-hmm. In the past, is that idea of, like, this is a clean break, we're starting all over. Nintendo had no continuity in accounts between, you know, like, one system to another.
Which is, this is obviously something that both Xbox and PlayStation had solved for years before, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, this was Nintendo playing catch up a little bit. And I would say that we haven't really seen the front end, like, implementation of this just yet.
No, and it feels like something that with whatever the next generation of Nintendo hardware, it will have a better idea of the work that this company has been doing.
It is interesting that, like, it seems like all of the mobile stuff is, like, being quietly put to bed, right? And I wonder, like, how much longer they're going to continue to, like, support that stuff and whether it's even worth it for them to combine those like ecosystems all under the single Nintendo account.
Yeah. It feels like Fire Emblem Heroes has made them a ton of money.
Right.
I feel like it's the one unqualified success.
Yeah.
And that seems like it could just continue until it's no longer making a ton of money.
Yeah, sure.
But as far as, like, I feel like Pocket Camp is kind of the outlier, but they stopped doing new content updates for Pocket Camp, right?
Yeah.
And so,
just like they stopped for Mario Kart.
Mario Kart Tour, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there haven't been updates for Run in forever, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm. And then Pikmin Bloom is a co-development with Niantic, and
right.
So it feels like we don't know how much of that continuing is based on, like, Niantic's decision versus Nintendo.
It's got that Miyamoto armor, though.
Like, I mean, it's got Pikmin. What are they gonna do? You know, shut it down?
Are they gonna take it away from Miyamoto?
Yeah, no way.
And then the Dr. Mario World is obviously just, like, gone and doesn't exist anymore. So
is that,
like,
all of them? Is that? I feel like we're missing one, but I think that might... Oh,
Dragalia Lost.
Dragalia Lost, which already shut down.
Right.
Dead and gone.
Is that the last we hear of Dragalia Lost?
I think so.
What a weird little blip. And then, like, in line with, you know, like, the BS games on the Satellaview that, like, just literally unplayable Nintendo games.
Yep. Yep.
Doesn't matter what kind of hardware you have.
No.
You just can't play them. Crazy stuff. So how were we on our hypotheses regarding Nintendo Systems Co? I think we were mostly questions, right?
Right. Yeah. Not enough information at the time or now, really.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think those two, Nintendo Pictures Co and Nintendo Systems Co, are both going to feature heavily in, like, how Nintendo presents itself going forward.
Yeah. Long-term bets.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, with Nintendo Pictures Co, I mean, we've seen them in, like you said, Super Mario RPG Remake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense from a development standpoint, bring some of that capability in-house.
Yep. And then we briefly discussed some notable anniversaries, all while kind of being like, I think our brains were poisoned a little bit by this Mario's 35th anniversary. Because what is a 35th anniversary? Why is that something that we're celebrating?
Marketing.
Yeah.
And we fell for it.
And we fell and sinker. For it. I don't know. Any of these, none of these were really.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I had forgotten that some of these were true. So I think it might be fun to just run down.
Sure.
It was 2023 was the 40th anniversary of Donkey Kong 3.
Mm-hmm. We're really hopeful for the year of Stanley the Bugman.
The 30th anniversary of Star Fox, the 25th anniversary of Ocarina of Time, the 25th anniversary of Banjo-Kazooie, the 20th anniversary of the Mario plus Luigi series, and the 20th anniversary of Kirby's Air Ride.
All of which, or really none of which, was celebrated in any official capacity by Nintendo. Even, like, are there any of those that are surprising to you that they didn't do anything for?
No, I guess not, because it might be, do you feel like they, like, let's say Mario's 35th anniversary. There was Super Mario Brothers 35.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, they, I wonder how much of the 35th anniversary was like reverse engineered.
Sure.
Where it's like, oh, well, we have Mario 3D All-Stars. We're working on this Super Mario Brothers remix thing.
Right.
We can just brand it all as 30. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. I wonder if somebody was like, hey, 2020 is the 35th anniversary of Mario. Let's build a campaign around that.
Yes. Well, and especially being that it was 2020, where they were like, we can't work on any of the stuff that we're working on because we don't have the same kind of capacity to work remotely as other companies, because our security is so stringent or whatever. They were just like, 35 years since Mario? Great. I think you can claim like any that Mario started like any year, right? Because you could claim the Mario Brothers year, you could claim the Donkey Kong year, you could claim the Super Mario Brothers year, and like it all works.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you that it does feel a little reverse engineered. And then they didn't do anything for really any of these. We celebrated the 25th anniversary of Ocarina of Time.
And we're always celebrating Stanley the Bugman.
We're always celebrating Stanley the Bugman and Kirby's Air Ride, a game that neither of us have ever played. Finally, Mark, in a moment that truly made me laugh out loud as I was listening back to the episode, I asked if you had any hopes and dreams for the year, and you rejected it outright. The question, you were like, no, that's not scientific.
And I still, with my freshly starched lab coat on right now, I still feel that is true.
So overall, how would you say we did getting hypotheses out there for the year 2023?
I would say overall, we proved a lot of these hypotheses to be false.
I would say so too, but all like interesting perspectives on it, right? Like,
and in the, you know, true pursuit of science and truth,
mm-hmm.
we for sure are taking the data that we learned this year,
right,
to just make better predictions on Thursday.
Yes.
These for sure we're gonna nail.
No, 100%. All of the predictions that we're gonna make next episode, those are all gonna land. Every single one, down to the most specific point.
We have so much more data now. How could we fail?
Yeah, Mark, I agree with that. All right, let's close this out. All right, that is going to do it for this episode. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Remember, you can join our Discord. All you got to do is email us, and we will send you an invitation. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Eller saying thank you for listening.